Amen. Amen. Let me see if I can get my mic. If I can get my mic turned up just a tad bit. Just a little bit, please. There we go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let me say to you that I find myself again in the 34th number of Psalm. I think this may be one of my favorite psalms, although I thought Psalm 91 was, but it may be one of my favorite psalms. And today we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And I am going to ask you if you will keep your Bible, your tablets, or whatever you have out, your phones, or whatever you use. I'm going to ask if you will keep them out. And the reason I want you to keep them out is because I'd like to briefly touch upon all of these verses, and I need you to be with me. Your scripture was read during devotion. The deacons at our church read the same devotion. The scriptures that I preach from, they or whichever preacher is preaching, they read those, and they have read them, but some of you may have not been here, so we're going to read these verses. As they're on the screen, I ask that you obey the punctuation marks, that you know that you don't run over them and drive all over the highway, but you recognize that when you get to a period you need to stop, or comma, colon, or semicolon, that you need to pause briefly. And so in order for you to get the meaning of something, you need to read it correctly. Amen? So now let's read verse 1, and let me read so I can hear you. I will bless the exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that feared him and delivered him. Oh, taste, just right there, hold on a minute. Say that again.
Oh, taste.
Just this right there, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Didn't say you won't, wouldn't want anything. It said you will not want any good thing. He may not be a good thing, so that may be why you won't, but any good thing, amen? And I just want to talk about taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I don't believe that Charles is in worship this morning, my barber, but a couple of weeks ago, we were going to join each other for lunch. And he called me and said, Pastor, he said, before we go to lunch, I really need to stop at Costco's. And I said, oh, man, there's one on 380. We can just meet here in McKinney, and then we'll just shoot over to a restaurant here in McKinney and eat. That's fine. So I met him at Costco's. And Lottie, I declare this is the day that they must have had all the people out giving free food. I didn't want any of their food, but he wanted all of their food. And I thought, man, we're going to eat when we leave here. So we went down every aisle, and everything he saw, he said, yeah, I want some of that. So we got to a pizza aisle. When we got to the pizza aisle, the man said, pizza? He said, yes, sir, yeah, yeah. And I said, no, thank you. He said, you want it, you want it. And so I got it. I got several of them. I think I got three little things of pizza for him. I said, man, you won't be hungry by the time we go and eat. He said, oh, yeah, this is just going to get me there. This is just going to get me there. And then as we got to thinking about the concept of this kind of advertisement of having people give out food like that, Karen, we learned that the concept is that they're telling you if you try this, that you will ultimately like this. So they're not just standing there to give you a little boost to keep you going. They're there because they're wanting to sell a product. The assumption is once you find and you try this product, that you're going to come back and buy more of that product. King David assumed the same thing about one's experience with the Lord when he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now listen, the Apostle Paul, as well as David, both spoke of having tasted the heavenly gift. The sense of taste includes most of the other senses, includes smell, includes sight, includes touch, and certainly this is also true in spiritual things. Now, I told him this morning that I don't like to categorize people. I don't like putting people in categories. But I have found out that basically there are three classes of Christians. Number one, there are those who hear without seeing. Number two, there are those who hear and see without tasting. And then number three, there are those in whom all three combine, of whom faith cometh by hearing, in whom faith groweth by seeing, and in whom faith is developed and consummated by tasting. David extended an open invitation for us to come and enjoy and to magnify and to exalt the divine name and the goodness of the Lord. And he challenged the people to taste and see that the Lord is good. He wanted them to taste the goodness of God because he wanted them to experience God firsthand. Is there anybody in here that have firsthand experience of God? I really thought I was at the right church, but maybe not today. Is there anybody in here that has firsthand experience of the goodness of God? Is there anybody with an attitude that says, you can't tell me about God because I know for myself what God can and not only can but will do? Do I have anybody that can say, I know what the man can do? This week, Reb Holloway was in my office and we were just talking, and I don't know how we got on this, but I said, man, I said, this 34th Psalm is just hovering with me. It's just sticking with me. And Ralph said to me, he said, man, this just sometimes, some of these sermons and these verses, they just get with you, and it's like they won't let you go. I said, man, I go to bed, and when I wake up, the first thing when I wake up, that same scripture is on my mind when I wake up. I mean, I can't explain it, but I just know that it hovers with me. I see things and hear things that make me think about that same scripture, O taste and see. Now, David said, O taste and see, but he did not say see and taste. You know how we are. You know how we are as a people. You know, we can have a meal at the church. I'm just talking about Shiloh. I'm not in New Freedom, I'm just at Shiloh. We can have a meal at the church. And at the church, when we have a meal, the first thing we want to do is go back there and ask, who cooked? Who cooked that? I don't eat everybody's black eyed peas. I don't eat everybody's greens. And you go sit up in restaurants and eat everything. Don't know who cooking it, but when you come to the church, I got to know who made stuff before. I don't eat everybody's spaghetti. You don't eat everybody's spaghetti because you ain't got hungry enough yet. Get hungry enough. You'll taste, amen. You know he didn't say, he did not say see and taste. Because we taste a substance and normally we generally look it over first and we want to check it out first and we make conclusions because of what we see. I shared with them this morning that the two things that I just cannot eat these two things. I cannot eat, and some of y'all gonna go, what is wrong with you? Matter of fact, after 8 o'clock service, I had people telling me they're gonna bring me bottles of it. I cannot eat ranch dressing, and I cannot eat blue cheese dressing, and it is just based on the looks of it. There's something about it that just doesn't set well with me. But I also shared with them that I've been trying my best to get this wife of mine to eat guacamole, but I don't care if they make it at the table. I say, baby, this is so good. You go ahead, help yourself. I just can't eat it. Listen, let me tell you. Even though we have aversion and we have dislikes for some things, I'm here to tell you that when you get a divine appreciation for the things of God, then you will start to love the God that you have divine appreciation for. Two things are necessary to the enjoyment of the goodness of God. First of all, you have to have freedom from guilt. And let me say, somebody already sitting, hold it and now, what guilt? I ain't guilty of nothing. Everybody in here guilty of something. Everybody guilty of something. May not have been a big something, but you're guilty of a lot of little somethings, amen? Everybody guilty of something. I told y'all in a sermon, what about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I told you in a sermon, I ain't been to jail, but I sure have done some things that when I look back on it could have been kind of jailish, amen? Kind of jailish. Some jailish type things. Y'all remember what I told you about Safeway, the store Safeway? That girl told me to come in there and get whatever you want. And they didn't have it like we got it now where they scan. You typed everything in. I go in there and get a big old steak, big old roast. It might have been $10.29. She put in 29 cents. I haul all that stuff out of the Safeway store. That's jailish type stuff. I'm just telling the truth. See, this is the one thing I've learned, that my faults make me better today. And you know, I ain't bragging about it. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just bragging about the fact that the Lord has brought me from a mighty long way, and stuff that I used to do, I just don't do all of it anymore. Somebody missed that. Stuff I used to do, I don't do all of it anymore. I was at a funeral, and the lady got up and she said, when JC and I were coming up, she said, we used to drink scotch like you wouldn't believe, but I just don't drink scotch anymore. And boy, my Aunt Kyle was sitting there, and she said, yeah, but you drank tequila. So you got to become free from your guilt. Not because you excuse yourself because of what you have done, but because you know that there's one that died on the cross at Calvary that you might be forgiven of all of your sins and shortcomings. And then secondly, you got to have a gratitude for the stuff that God is doing for you. Quit worrying about what you don't have and thank God for what you do have. How many of you know? Don't make me shout in here. Don't make me. How many of you know that things for you are better than you actually deserve for them to be? Better than you deserve. God has been better to you. Talk back to me. God has been better to you than you deserve. Involving, enjoying God's goodness involves trusting in God. Trusting Him will ensure us true blessedness when you learn to trust in Him. And we must trust and follow the Lord and forget things that are in the past. Forget about the things that are in the past. And have you ever noticed folks love to keep you in the past? Folks love to keep you in the past. When I lived in Houston, everybody called me Junior. Soon as I go back to Houston, folks, the first thing, Junior, you remember when we used to? Yeah, I remember when I used to, and thank God it's used to. Somebody get that. Forget the things in the past, the things behind us, and we got to press toward the things that are before us. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Hear me this morning. There's no want for them that fear the Lord. When you fear the Lord, there's no want. My brothers and sisters, we must taste of God for ourselves and not lean and depend on the testimonies of other people. So preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that you need to build a relationship with God so you don't need nobody to tell you how good God is. You already know how good God is. Can't nobody tell me nothing about the goodness of God that I don't already know. Because time after time, the man has proven himself to be a mighty good God to me. You got to be careful what you hear folks say. Because the Bible declares that some men's moral perceptions are so perverted that they call good evil and evil good. They call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. I'm tired of living in a society where everything counts. Anybody, do if it makes you feel good, just do you, do what you want to do. No, you don't do you. You need to learn to do Jesus. Somebody talk back to me in here today. That's the problem. When you start doing you, you start leaning to your own understanding. And you forget to acknowledge that God is God and God is God all by himself. They looked at his goodness, but they would not come and taste for themselves. That's why you got to be prepared, soldiers. You got to read the word for yourself. Now, I don't know anything about Baton Rouge, so I ain't talking about Baton Rouge. I'm just talking about right here in Texas. I'm talking about in Texas. Pastor, hear me. Folks leave churches in Texas to go to another church because they say that they are not getting fed at the church that they were at. And I check to see the attendance at Bible study, where they're feeding folks at Sunday school, where they're feeding folks at prayer meeting, where they're feeding folks at Bible classes, where they're feeding folks, and they were absent every single time. You got to come to the table in order to get fed. Somebody hear me today. That's why everybody in the church ought to be in some teaching arm of the church. You ought to be in some class, some teaching arm where you can learn the word of God. And then come to church on Sunday. I ain't getting nothing out of that. You ain't getting nothing out of that because you ain't brought nothing into that. You got to know the word in order for the word to resonate with you. Talk back to me this morning. They looked at his goodness, but they would not come and taste for themselves. They're lookers only and not tasters. And we need to both taste and see for ourselves that the Lord is good. Now, here's where I want you to have your Bibles open, and I want you to catch me right now in verse 4. In verse 4 in our text today, we hear a man confess that he had once been entrapped by a multitude of fears, which actually, if you knew the whole story, had crippled his walk toward Mount Zion. But he tasted of the goodness of the Lord and found that he was sweet. For he said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fear. He did not say just some of his fears, but he said, I wish I had somebody with me today. He said all of his fears. Listen, my brothers and sisters, won't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Won't you just try him this morning and taste and see that he's good? Catch me in verse 5 real quickly. We see a group of cheerful witnesses testifying that in times past, their faces had been clouded with sorrow because the sunshine had gone out of their souls. But they tasted and looked upon the Lord, and he enlightened their faces. They tried him and they liked him. They tasted and found out for themselves that the Lord really is good. Somebody say, he really is good, y'all. Say, he really is good. If you don't believe that, let's get another witness in verse 6. A poor man confessed that he had been in many tight places. Anybody ever been in a tight place in the house? Anybody in a tight place right now? Closely beset by powerful temptation, but he tasted of the Lord's goodness and found out that the Lord was sweet. And he cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Notice he did not say some of his troubles, but all of his troubles. Oh, won't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Let's run. Pick me up in verse 7. In verse 7, it seems as though all of the combined individual testimonies began to merge together into one great victorious testimony of assurance. Now listen, don't miss this in verse 7. And the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that feared the Lord and that delivered them. Get to verse 8, if you will. In verse 8, it says, after hearing all of these individual testimonies, a mighty appeal was issued. And the appeal was, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trust in the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you today, but I don't trust hearsay. I am not content with the testimonies of other folks. I need more than theoretical knowledge of how good God is. I want to have a personal experience with God. That's why I have tried him for myself. Anybody ever been down and out and you had to call upon him? And not only did he hear, but he answered your cry. You need to have your own testimony. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you're going through trials in your life, taste and see how good and how sweet God is. You cannot see his goodness except by tasting him for yourself. It was Jonathan in the Bible, and Jonathan's daddy had made a mandate, and it says nobody's to eat for this period of time. But Jonathan didn't get the word. And Jonathan had a stick in his hand. and he stuck the stick in a honeycomb, and he put the honeycomb, he put the stick up to his lips. And when he put it up to his lips, he said it enlightened his eyes. His eyes opened because of the sweetness of it. If you're a child of the King, there'll be something in your eyes to tell people you know Jesus. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that church folks ought to not just be folks that's got to walk around in dark suits. I'm blessed and highly, y'all know it. No, you ought to have something on the inside of you. You ought to have some pep in your step, some stride and some pride. You ought to have some dignity about you because you know this man named Jesus. Somebody talk to me. Folks ought to be able to look at you and see something on the inside of you. If nobody ever sees something on the inside, you need an examination, and it's a self-examination. I told him this morning this was not a good example for the pastor to give the church, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you anyway. Since I gave it to them, I'm going to hand it back to you. You will not know the true meaning of food at a banquet by looking only. Now, here's the bad example that I'm going to give you. I could have worked hard on getting a better example of this, especially for a group of church people, but this is what I have for you. You must taste wine to know the sweetness of the grapes that it was made from. So now don't y'all go out of line, tell my pastor said. Girl, I was that Sunday, and Pastor said, it's all right. No, that ain't what Pastor's saying. I'm saying to you, in order to know the sweetness of the grapes, somebody help me out, you got to be able to taste the wine. So let me give you one better. You cannot know the quality of the beef steak until you cut into it and bite it. Many steaks have been brought to the table that look good. But how did you know it wasn't good? Soon as you cut it and you saw how it was cooked, not for you. That's not for you. When you tasted it, not for you. I used barbecue as an example this morning. I've seen some barbecue. I'm telling you, that was the best looking barbecue in the world. And when I tasted it, I said, they must have boiled this meat. This meat has no smoke on it. You got to taste to see the goodness. David says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Our faith is our soul's taste. Faith is what makes your soul be able to taste the goodness of God. Is there anybody to know anything about faith? Faith makes you taste the goodness of God. And here's what I like. When you got a little bit of faith, God will throw something else in there called favor and then bless you doubly. Somebody talk back to me in the house. Catch me in verse 9. I got to get out of here. Verse 9 says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. We must render humble, childlike reverence to God, and we must walk circumspectly in his laws. We must respect his will, and we must tremble at the thought of offending him, and we must be hastened to serve him. We must fear God only and not the wrath of men, and neither should we be tempted to sin because of the threats. Fear God only and nothing else, for there's no want for them that fear the Lord. Say that again. There's no want for them that fear the Lord. God will not allow his faithful servants to starve. You will not starve if you're faithful. He may not give you luxuries, but I promise you he'll supply every one of your needs. I say that again. He may not give you all the luxuries, but he'll supply every one of your needs. The thing that you got to have is faith, because faith says you got to be willing to stand here and hold on and wait for God to work this thing out in your life. Does he come when you want him? Big Mama already told you. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I like what David said. David says, I was young, but now I'm old. And he says, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Many of our wishes may remain ungratified, but our real wants the Lord will supply. Get to verse 10, if you will. Verse 10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Lions are ferocious and cunning and strong in all the power of their youth. And yet they sometimes howl for their ravenous hunger. And even their craftiness in oppressing men, they still often have wants. But the simple-minded Christian who dare not act as a greedy lion are fed with food convenient to them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. They that seek the Lord, those who seek the Lord, shall not want any good thing. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It makes me want to shout to just think trusting in God makes me not have to want for any good thing. No good thing shall be denied to those whose first and main purpose in life is to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to close this sermon, but the best way of knowing the goodness and the sweetness of the Lord is to taste and see for yourself. Taste of his goodness. Put him first in your life. Put the Lord first, and you will see that he's sweet, and you'll know he's sweet. Taste and see that the Lord is sweet. He will eliminate all of your worries and all of your anxieties. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because God will take care of you tomorrow. Live one day at a time and taste and see that the Lord is good. I tell you, he's a good God. Is there anybody in here that know him to be a good God? God is love. In fact, he sees no color. God is like rain. He will clean your soul. God is like wind. He will. You can't see him, but you sure can feel him. Every now and then, you'll just feel the presence of the Lord burning on the altar of your heart. God is like a mother. He will take care of you. God is like Hallmark. He cared enough to send his best. That was his only begotten son. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 8:35-39, said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And then he says, nay, in all of these things, this is what you got to get happy over. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Dark clouds may rise, Strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world, wherever I may go, that I've found a Savior, and He's sweet, I know. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, He is a good God. When things are going bad, just taste and see. He's sweet, I know. When your soul feels sad and lonely, just taste and see. He's sweet, I know. When you're being tried by Satan's snares, child, just taste and see. He's sweet, I know. If you lost in sin and want to be saved, you taste and see. He's sweet, I know. Sometime your heart will be heavy laden, but taste and see. He's sweet, I know. When your eyes are filled with tears, you just need to taste and see. He's sweet. When your body is sick and the doctor says you won't get well, taste and see. When your rent is due and you don't know where the rent money is coming from, just try and taste and see. When you don't know where your next meal will come from, taste and see that the Lord is sweet. When the news comes that your child has been locked up in jail, you just need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Dark clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I can tell the world wherever I go that I tasted and I saw for myself that He's sweet and that I know. Yes, I have a Savior and He's sweet, I know. He had no home. Look at Him. Look at how sweet He is. He had no home, but He promised believers mansions. He had no bakery, but He produced bread for 5,000. He had no pills or hospitals, but He healed the sick. He had no money, but He paid His friends taxes. He attended no college, yet He taught not as the scribes, but one as having authority and holding a degree. He's sweet, I know. Can I just talk about Him? And I'm going to my seat. He was born in a borrowed stable. He was laid in a borrowed cattle manger. He used a pulpit that He borrowed in order to preach on a boat. He fed thousands with a borrowed lunch. He taught from a borrowed book. He slept in a borrowed bed. He rode as king on a borrowed donkey. He observed the Last Supper in a borrowed room. He was mocked as king in a borrowed robe. He was crucified on a borrowed cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on Sunday morning, when the women went to the tomb, they found that the stone had been rolled away. Jesus is all you need. Jesus rolled away the stone that sealed the rock, that entombed the rock that was the Rock of Ages. And the Rock of Ages walked out on the heart of the rock, not with some power, but with all power in heaven and earth in His hand. Jesus arose from the midst of the rock, declaring that I've got all power. He got saving power, delivering power, healing power, redeeming power, Holy Ghost power. And because He has all power, He's all we need. You just got to learn how to taste and see. I tasted it on Calvary. And He's sweet, I know. I tried the Lord for myself, and He's sweet, I know. I tasted Him, and He gave me a new life. I tasted Him, and He redeemed me with His precious blood. I tasted Him, and He sanctified me. Tasted Him, and He made me whole. Tasted Him, and He gave me a new song. Tasted Him, and He gave me joy, unspeakable joy. I tasted Him and He gave me amazing grace and everlasting life. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. On yesterday, I had a funeral. And Reverend Levi, I rode with him to the cemetery. And Fred Moses, and I had a long day and was just kind of dazed, and Levi said, "You all right, Pastor?" And I said, "Yes." And I thought to myself, we do the funeral, then we have to go do the committal. I said, "Well, Jesus died. Who did his committal service?" And I sat there and thought to myself, nobody. And then I thought, no, that's wrong, Joshua. He did his own committal service. He said, "Father, this is his committal service. Father, into thy hands." Somebody ought to know it. "I commend my spirit." And then the Bible says he gave up the ghost. It was done. But thank God. Thank God he got up. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Is there anybody can thank God? Anybody can come to your feet and thank God that he got up? Not with some power, but with all power. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He got up. He got up. Oh, taste. Oh, taste. Oh, taste. Oh, taste. Oh, taste. And see that the Lord is good. Doors of the church stand open. If there be one, we invite you to come. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For the preached word today, oh, taste and see. There may be one under the sound of my voice right now. You may not know the Lord as your personal